Welcome to part two of our conversation with Barry Frankish on the Grave Talks. Do you think that the engineering of these massive trains and things of that nature make it more apt to have a severe haunting experiences or a haunting just with the energy that's expelled by the machinery?
I think it does, because I say there's no modern technology in view. There's no Wi-Fi, there's no electric gizmos, and no, I mean, it's just pure water, steam, pressure. It's like a big, it makes it a pressure cooker. And there's that much power in these things. I mean, this is things on yesterday. As you know, modern technology, it plays havoc with paranormal. I mean, you cannot substantiate something what's been interfered with all the time by Wi-Fi waves and stuff. These trains don't have anything like that. These are proper back to basics lumps of metal, basically run by water and coal. I mean, and it's the UK in its heyday did run on coal. I mean, you can imagine pits everywhere, everything, the countryside was steaming with trains running up and down it, and some of the essence will be still there. I mean, people working day to day, they put that much effort into it. I dare say when they pass over, the ones who enjoyed it, or maybe the ones who didn't enjoy it, will be still doing what they do in the next life, thinking they're still doing what they're doing.
Sure, sure. Have you ever, I'm sure you've heard of stories, you know, of the like ghost trains and things of that nature,
yeah.
People hearing, maybe even seeing a light. What sort of stories or accounts have you heard in your life about that?
With trains, I'll be honest with you, not so much. I mean, I've heard of, I mean, there's, unfortunately, within the area I live in, there has been quite a few suicides on train tracks where people have, like, either jumped in front of trains and, or just laid in front of them, or just let themselves go, unfortunately. Now, with respect to that, I tend to stay away from places like that where I know something like that's happened. I mean, whether it's because, like I say, for me, it's not too long back. So these spirits will have someone's spirits, if they're still there, will have someone's living relative still nearby. I mean, these are people from our generation as well, or just prior to us. So I tend to look for a more traditional, the old fashioned ghost type thing, not the Victorian Charles Dickens type ghost with clanking chains and headless horseman type things. I don't look for stuff like that, even though I am on search for an highwayman quite soon. So it's not too far from me. Which is something I've found.
Let me ask you this. It's a perspective question. The States, when we have hauntings, typically it goes back a certain length of time as far as what we're accounting. Usually Civil War. Pre that, there's not a lot of ghost stories, but because, well, a lot of the areas weren't developed yet. But I always kind of wonder about that. I mean, because a lot of our perspective here just comes from the stories that are near us, where it's like, well, these ghosts seem to be kind of in a time window. And beyond later in that time window, you don't really hear or see a lot of stories where it's someone from 300, 400, 500 years ago. It's not very common. Clearly, there were people and there were areas that were very populated at that time. Over in your neck of the woods, for example, is there that sort of a time window with spirits there where it seems to be in the last 100 years or so of who's popping up, or does it go back much deeper than that?
It's, like I say, it's quite a tricky question, right? Because like I say, the States, I mean, even though the UK has got a lot more depth in history, the States has been there just as long. I mean, it's been there since, well, the planet wasn't created. I mean, maybe not what society has today. You've had the Indian societies before that. People have been there way before we know about it. I mean, this planet is so old. I mean, they do believe there's been six generations of intelligent life on this planet before we came here. So, I mean, when it comes to that respect, I mean, the USA is a lot more older than people realise. There's a lot more depth than people know. But when it comes to the UK, I mean, we have the history. We have the bloody history. We've got the old stately homes and castles. We have Henry VIII, apparently. Anne Boleyn, she's been quite a popular one, who pops up now and again. She's like 300-400 years old. You've got York. You've got the Roman Legion, what's been spotted. I mean, that's 2,000 years ago. I mean, there's a chap called Harry Martin, he's passed away now, but there's a famous case called the Treasurer's House. and centre of York. And this is quite a well-known case, if you'd like to look at it at some point. What it was, this chap was an apprentice plumber. And one of his tasks was to go down into this cellar in this house and do some drilling and preparation for new pipework for the radiator system, which he did. And he went down, doing his work, and he heard what he believed was a trumpet playing. Like, I thought, what's that down here? Because in the cellar, you cannot hear a thing. I mean, I've been down there myself. It's not a big cellar. And he said, the next thing he looked round, he could smell like sweat. And he said, what happened then? He said, literally at the wall, an horse came out the wall. But some chaps followed him, some soldiers. But he says it wasn't the soldiers you see on the movies, like Spartacus stuff. They were not dressed in silver and chrome and shiny stuff. He said they were dressed in leather and green shawls. Now, they looked into that. And they said it makes it more accurate because the Romans, what they used to do, they didn't actually give all the soldiers chrome and metal armour. That was only for the legions in Italy, for the generals and things. They recruited from local tribes and they got or wore whatever they could get hold of. And so it integrated into their uniform. And he said another thing what surprised him, he says these soldiers, you could only see them from the knees upwards. There were no knees. But what gave it credibility a few years later is they actually dug further down and found the original Roman road, which was at the same depth their legs would have been.
Wow.
I mean, this is from 2,000 years ago. Sure. I mean, maybe it's residual, I don't know, or if there's any kind of intelligence behind it, they never knew this. But he swore blind what he experienced. And what he gave the historians gave it more credibility, even more so when they found this new road below it.
Do you feel that hauntings that are, you know, dated back further are more likely to be a residual type haunting than they are to be like a conscious haunting?
I do, yes. I think it's like a replay type thing. How I look at it, we tend to look like things like videotape, VHS videotape, and as a film, maybe a film's on taped onto this particular film, and you tape over it, replay, and after a while it wears down. And I think ghosts and spirits are a bit like that. I mean, a ghost for me is a visual replay of an action, what's happened. A spirit, much harder to clarify and confirm, or maybe intelligence behind it is more or less impossible. I think the two are separate entities altogether, with a ghost being a replay of an action, what's happened prior. And for some reason, we experience it because we can somehow trigger it. We become like an on-off button, and right place, right time, and we trigger it. And I think after a while, like anything, it dilutes itself, and after a while, it basically goes into obscurity.
It's interesting to think of us as the on-off button to that.
Yeah.
Explain that more.
Yes, I mean, I like to look at that, like with past lives, for example. But something I've looked into. I look at it as like radios, and imagine it's like a radio. The people are more sensitive to things like that. You get people who are like psychics, mediums, and I mean, me, I'm a psychic. I'm told I've got abilities, but I never actually used them, and I don't know how to be honest with you. But I believe, look at us like a radio, like a two-band radio, AM, FM. Some people like that. You get another type of people, they're AM, FM, medium wave. Then you'll get someone else like a digital radio, can pick up every channel going, and people are like that. I mean, it's no disrespect to anybody, but it's how we just wired up. I mean, some people like myself, two-band radio, will pick up certain things, but not everything. The person with an extra band or with broadwidth length, pick up a bit more. The ones that are basically the version of digital radio, they can pick everything up, and that's what they will get the chatter and everything. So I look at us as like radio, and they approach us like a signal, basically. We're a receiver.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Barry. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing that information with us and his experiences. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny System comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.